Purport. In terms of a labor of love and its returns, the bhaktas or devotees of the Lord always have priority over persons who are addicted to the association of jnanis or impersonalists and yogis or mystics. The word apare, others, is very significant in this connection. Others refers to the jnanis and the yogis whose only hope is to merge into the existence of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Although their destination is not so important in comparison to the destination of the devotees, the labor of the non-devotees is far greater than that of the bhaktas. One may suggest that there is sufficient labor for the devotees also in the matter of discharging devotional service, but that labor is compensated by the enhancement of transcendental pleasure. The devotees derive more transcendental pleasure while engaged continuously in the service of the Lord than when they have no such engagement. In the family combination of a man and a woman, there is much labor and responsibility for both of them. Yet when they are single, they feel more trouble for want of their united activities. The union of the impersonalist and the union of the devotees are not on a par. The impersonalists try to fully stop their individuality by attaining Sayujya Mukti, or unification by merging into oneness, whereas the devotees keep their individuality to exchange feelings in relationship with the Supreme Individual Lord. Such reciprocation of feelings takes place in the transcendental Vaikuntha planets. Therefore, the liberation sought by the impersonalist is already achieved in devotional service. The devotees attain mukti automatically while continuing the transcendental pleasure of maintaining individuality. As explained in the previous verse, the devotees or destination of the devotees is Vaikuntha or Akunta Disnya, the place where anxieties are completely eradicated. One should not mistake the destination of the devotees and that of the impersonalist to be one and the same. The destinations are distinctly different, and the transcendental pleasure derived by the devotee is also distinct from chinmatra, or spiritual feelings alone. Tatapare chatma samadhi yoga balena jitva prakritim balishtam tvam eva dhira purusham vishanti tesham samasyam natu sivayati. So the comparison here about the devotee whose only pleasure is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that of the jnanis or those who are aspiring for attaining mystic powers by performing yoga, Astanga Yoga, has been explained here. that there is so much labor, both anyway, but lesser in the part of the devotee, because the result of one's performing devotional service ultimately will yield for one's eternal pleasure. Unlike the jnanis or the yogis, they also perform severe austerities, penance, sacrifice, and their main goal is to be one with the Supreme Lord, which is considered to be hellish for the devotees. For, especially in this day and age, if one wishes to perform such perfection to attain that liberation, which is to merge with the Supreme, one cannot do this in the city. One has to go to the Himalayas. One has to go to the mountains. One has to be in a secluded place. And it is not possible to do it where we are right now. They want to be more secluded, alone, so that they can meditate on the merging of with the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma Jyoti means the effulgence coming from the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord. As it is explained in the Bhagavatam, that there are three aspects of the Supreme Lord. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Sabjate, which means that the Lord can be understood in three aspects. The Brahma Jyoti is like the reflection, the sun's sun rays coming from the reflection of the Brahma Jyoti, coming from the spiritual world, and originally coming from Goloka Vrindavan. That's why when the elderly gopis, they would complain to Mother Yasoda every day that, please, take care of your child. How come he comes every day to steal our butter and yogurt? How is it that maybe your milk products or sweetmeats is not good enough? And every day they will come along with his elder brother Balaram to steal our yogurt and butter. And even when we will hide them in a dark room, up in the ceiling, the pots of yogurts and butter, somehow or other, they still be able to find them. Maybe you should take away their jewelries. Maybe you should take away their ornaments. I think they'll be able to find where we're hiding those sweetmeats or yogurt and butter. Oh, no. Better not, also, because there is some effulgence coming from his body. That's why it says in the Bhagavad Gita that in the spiritual world, there is no need of sunlight or moonlight or electricity. Everything is self-effulgent because coming from the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord. So this Brahma Jyoti extends up here in the material world. The reflection of Brahma Jyoti is that sunlight or the moonlight in that matter. So the impersonalist, the jnanis, the The Vedas is divided into three sections: Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Upasana Kanda. So when one who would like to fulfill the senses, to enjoy the sense objects with the senses, there is a prescribed method mentioned in the Vedas. That's the Karma Kanda section. And then when one comes to the platform, that understanding that, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, fulfill my desire for sense enjoyment, but still, it's a different kind of sense enjoyment now, which means merging into Brahma Jyoti. Then they will perform yoga, jnana, cultivation of knowledge, whereby, again, if they're not coming to the conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Samahatma Sudurlava, the whole conclusion of the Vedas is to understand Lord Vishnu as everything or all in all. Then somehow or other, his cultivation of knowledge is a failure. And so much labor. It's not possible for us to read all the Vedas. It's not possible for us to follow all of these prescribed methods whereby one can be elevated ultimately to understand that the Supreme Lord is present specifically in his Bhagavan feature. Takes so much labor, Prabhupada says here in the purport. On the other hand, the devotees also, they perform labor, but that is labor of love. That labor of love is like the original tendency. The constitutional position of everyone is to serve the Supreme Lord. And that serving of the Supreme Lord will, the result is that we'll have eternal life full of knowledge and bliss, way, way beyond the enjoyment. Actually, there is no enjoyment in merging with the Supreme Lord in his Brahma Jyoti form. Because there is no activity in Brahma Jyoti. And Prabhupada says it is not also eternal. Because there is no activity, then there is no happiness. It is boring after some time that one would like to perform some activity, and therefore they have to come down again to the material plane and again perform different philanthropic activities and so on. So the labor of love that the devotees discharge in order to please or serve the Supreme Lord is very, very beneficial. It will have an eternal result. While others, Prabhupada mentions here, apare or others, is very significant, because the jnanis and the yogis, their only hope is to merge into the existence of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. When the devotee performs bhakti, even in the initial stage, well, right now, actually, bhakti is performed after liberation. Right now, we're just trying to do bhakti. We're just trying to become a devotee. But now we can actually experience there is such happiness. We're doing the same thing every day, again and again. Nothing's changing, but it's always fresh. We get up early in the morning, by 4 o'clock. Well, those who live in the temple, anyway. Sannyasis and brahmacharis, but the grihasthas also, they have to get up early in the morning. Perform their sadhana. This is very important. Without sadhana, without practice of austerity, then, again, there is no spiritual life. Prabhupada says, no mangalartik means no spiritual life, no morning program. But we have a different standard here in the temple than that of those who are living with their family members at home. They also do austerity. At least they should get up by 5 o'clock. If you get up by 6, that is too late already. Especially if you have to go to work and have your children to go to school, everything will be too late. So both have to perform austerities. And ultimately, when one becomes perfect by doing this vaidhi sadhana, bhakti, following the rules and regulations, Prabhupada says also that bhakti is not so easy because of these austerities that we have to perform. It is not that we have to just sit down and wait for the mercy and blessings of the Supreme Lord to be showered upon us. We have to work hard for this as well. Especially dealing with the mind. How the mind can be focused on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the meditation of the devotees. Always on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Because by taking shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, we'll have protection. From what? From Maya. From the material energy, which is all pervading all here in the material world. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Yes. We have to struggle also. The devotees have to struggle. But their struggle will, again, will have an eternal benefit for the practitioner. That even though while we live in the city, we can do meditation. We can meditate. We can do yoga. Bhakti yoga. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Reading Srila Prabhupada's books, serving the Vaishnavas, associating with the Vaishnavas, we can attain the highest goal of life, which is Krishna Prema. So, yes, for the non-devotees, they will also say that, oh, your bhakti yoga seems to be very easy. What you're doing is very easy. Then Prabhupada would say, then why don't you do it? Why are you struggling so hard? Why are you putting so much pain and labor to merge into the Brahma Jyoti? Or this effulgence from the Supreme Lord, which ultimately will not make you satisfied. One will not be completely be content. But in Bhakti Yoga, if we offer a little fruit, flower, some water, you don't have to endeavor. Everyone in India or anywhere in the world can offer such items to the Supreme Lord, provided also that it is with love and devotion. That is the main ingredient. For everything that we do, it has to be with love and devotion. That is bhakti. Utilizing all of our senses, including the mind, intelligence, and our very self, to be offered to the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. In the beginning, it may be a little bit mechanical. Because out of duty, we have to do it. And ultimately, with love and devotion, it'll manifest. So, ultimately, all the labor that the devotees performing day after day after day till the end of his life. Prabhupada's purport here is very, very encouraging. That if we continuously doing it, then we will derive more transcendental pleasure. It's like the pleasure is uninterrupted. And Prabhupada gave an example, just like the honey. When you pour honey, there is no gap. It is continuous. Have you seen honey being poured? There is some gap in between. No, it is continuous. So even in the initial stage, even in the neophyte stage, there is some pleasure. And in the intermediate stage, there is more pleasure. And in the perfectional stage, when we become mature in our bhakti, continuously, unending, and always increasing. This is the result, ultimately. Let me see some of the purport here. Otherwise, the labor of the yogis and the jnanis, they try to attain the supreme, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained also that it is like they want to derive pleasure, but there is no pleasure. It's like an example was given, it's like you try to beat or you try to gain. You try to get. You know, you're beating the husk and it's empty. It's husk. You try to get the grains from the husk. It's not possible. Yeah? So you just keep beating, 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 but then you'll not be able to get. A person who beats an empty husk of wheat cannot get grain. So one who simply speculates cannot achieve self-realization. So it's a useless waste of time. So much labor, but in the end, you don't get anything. You get something, but not enough to satisfy. His only gain actually is trouble. From the 10th canto, chapter 14, text 4. Yes. And then another one, text 6. O Almighty Lord, in the past, many yogis in this world achieved the platform of devotional service by offering all their endeavors unto you and faithfully carrying out their prescribed duties. Though such devotional service perfected by the process of hearing and chanting about you, they came to understand you, O Infallible One, and could easily surrender to you and achieve your supreme abode. This is the prayer of Lord Brahma, who is trying to understand Lord Krishna. How is it the Brajabasis, they're so attracted to Lord Krishna. The Brajabasis, they don't have any other business. except to increase their love and wanted to serve Krishna more and more all the time. And he's trying to analyze what's going on here. Especially when Krishna would perform different pastimes like killing of the demons every day. Shastra says, the Acharya says that Krishna will kill 2 to 3 demons every day before tiffin time. And the demigods, they have a very good view. The demigods, they don't touch the ground. So they're always like above. They can see what's going on. And Lord Brahma, he was wondering, what is this noise going on? Because whenever Krishna will perform these pastimes, then there'll be a tumultuous sound of different instruments from the demigods. They will shower flowers. And Lord Brahma will be surprised what's going on here. And then he saw that there is this young boy who is the source of all the happiness for the Brajabasis. So he wanted to test up to what power this little boy is having. So he tried to do some trick to steal the cowherd boys and the calves. But Krishna, immediately he transformed himself to as many cowherd boys, as many calves. And Lord Brahma, he became bewildered also. So somehow or other, Krishna showed his opulence, that all of these boys also, whom Lord Brahma stole, actually they are not the original cowherd boys. Because no one can touch the associates, the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. So the gyanis, they try to understand what is the conclusion. And the conclusion, they have concluded wrongly that they just want to merge. For a bhakta, there's so many stories, they don't have to learn. Because gyan means ultimately understanding the ultimate cause of everything. You have many stories like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. There is this one devotee that his spiritual master told him to read Bhagavad Gita, but he's illiterate. And he was not able to read properly. And sometimes the Bhagavad Gita is upside down. And people will be laughing at him. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached him, this bhakta was crying. And he was asking, why are you crying? Well, my Guru Maharaj asked me to read Bhagavad Gita, but I'm not be able to. So why are you crying? But because when I see the Lord driving the chariot of his devotee, I can see the love that the Lord himself put himself seemingly subjugated or in a lower position than his devotee. That's why it says that Krishna is great. He is the greatest. But greater than him is his devotee. Now, not that the devotee is greater than Krishna. It is the love of the devotee that makes him greater than Krishna. Because it is the only way how we can purchase Krishna. It is the only way how we can capture Krishna. It is the only way how we can attract Krishna. Even though he says, yes, the meaning of Krishna means all attractive, but he is attracted to his devotee because of the love of his devotee. So we should continue going on, hope against hope. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, we have to be greedy like the materialist. The materialists are greedy for money. They don't have any other purpose. Because without money, there is no sense enjoyment. But our greediness is to serve Krishna. Take advantage. Take all the opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord. And it can be done in many ways. Through book distribution, prasadam distribution, through Harinam, and for those who have their second initiation, they can go directly to the altar and do artik, do the puja, they can cook for the deities, and many other practical services during the day. And the pleasure will increase more and more. Hare Krishna. I will stop here now. You have any question or comment? Yes, sir.
Yes, Hare Krishna. I'd just like to ask a question, Prabhu, about going back to devotional service. I've been a devotee.
Speak slowly and clearly.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question about devotional service.
Okay.
My mom came down with Parkinson's syndrome about 10 years ago, and I'm currently looking after her because of her illness. She's declining very, very sadly for me, and I'd just like to know, is that class as devotional service, looking after your mum?
What is the question?
Is that class as devotional? Okay.
Huh? It is possible. Yes. For the parents, parenting is also service to God. And you also have to take care of your mum. If there is no one else to take care of your mom and you're the only one, it is your duty.
Thank you.
To take care of her. And likewise, the parents also, Prabhupada says, your deity, if you have a child, your deity is your child. Because this is the responsibility of the parents to have and raise their children to be Krishna conscious. We owe also to our parents. That's why we are here in this world. It is through them. They did not create us, but it is through them that we are here. That's part of our karma. So as a reciprocation for the labor and hardship of our parents that they did for us when we were still young and up to when we grow old, is to take care of them. That happened to me also. My mother, I did not see her for 2 years. I don't know, somehow. I missed it. Every year I will come, go to see her in the Philippines. Even though I knew that she is not well. But I'm doing my duty also as a sannyasi. So every time I will call her, she will ask me, when are you coming home? When are you coming home? So finally, at that time that I came to see her, and in the Philippines. So I still traveled because I have some duties there. And somehow she waited for me. And she left her body, holding her body in my arms and chanting the Nisshinga prayers and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that is, and that was Ekadasi. And I have to do my puja first because I knew something is going to happen. So let me do my puja first. And after my puja, I went to see her. After a few minutes, she left her body. So don't forget your parents. Now that you have come to this platform of executing bhakti, unless they are very inimical, don't have this time. Don't let the time goes when you are not communicating with them. It's not that because, oh, I'm a devotee now, so now I don't have to worry about anything. No, 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 no. Now is the most important part, that you're a devotee, trying to become a devotee, so try to infuse, try to inject some Krishna consciousness to your family members. Don't forget them. Yes, any other question? Yes, sir. Sir means Prabhu.
Looking at the purport.
Okay, looking at the purport.
There is this sentence about how there is much labor and responsibility in family life.
Yeah.
And then there is trouble in when one is single.
Yeah.
So can you maybe speak more on that? Because at the same time we
in the family combination of a man and a woman, there is much labor and responsibility for both of them. Yet when they are single, they feel more trouble for want of their united activities. Yeah, there's a big responsibility in family life. So, yes, one has to perform such activities whereby both of them, the husband or the man and a woman, the husband and the wife will perform, especially when they have a child. But they also, at the same time, when they are single, they feel more trouble for want of their united activities. So there is a, what you call the feeling of separation as well, which is very troublesome. How we can see this? Says here, the devotees derive more transcendental pleasure while engaged continuously in the service of the Lord than when they have no such engagement. So, for those who are grihasthas, to have family is a big sacrifice. But then when they are separated, for instance, like the husband will be transferred due to his work somewhere else outside of the, like say, the vicinity where his family are residing. So there's more anxiety there for the husband to think of, oh, what's going on now with my family? Are they doing well? Is that they're properly taken care of. So, yes, that's how it works. And And say, yet when they are single, they feel more troubled for one of their united activities. Is that clear? Or a little bit more?
Prabhupada is kind of almost saying that being single is more troublesome than being in a family situation.
In Kali Yuga, I think so.
But at the same time, Prabhupada also encourages, you know, being single, trying to serve.
Yeah, Prabhupada says all brahmacharis should remain single and all the ladies should get married. So how do you put that together? Getting married means extra luggage. Going back to Godhead, the percentage is lesser. But in Kali Yuga, Grihastha life is the best ashram, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because you will learn more about how to become Krishna conscious. This is in Grihastha, not Grihamedi, because it's an ashram. Grihastha ashram means the ashram whereby you will learn how to become detached, not how to become more attached, even though Grihasthas, they have license for sense enjoyment. But in spiritual life, being single is the best. But if you cannot maintain your mind to be not be disturbed, the urge to have a wife, then you should get married. It's like that story of Gajendra. Gajendra is big, but he is in the wrong location. He is in the water that the crocodile able to give him so much trouble. So similarly, it depends. If you can maintain celibacy, if you can maintain to be sober and not be attracted towards the opposite sex, that is the best. But if you cannot do that, better do your bhakti being a grihastha. Yes, sir.
I myself had a personal experience with my mother. And it was very similar. I just come interested in Krishna consciousness. And, you know, I always felt an attraction for Jesus and all these sort of things. But then somehow or other, I was given a Bhagavad Gita, and I was still attending to my mother as well, and I used to take her prasadam and things like that, and she used to love the maha sweets, I remember. But
that's
actually,
the best.
Yeah, towards the end of her life, I always prayed that, I said, you know, I think now, you know, maybe I can and leave home. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm sort of bound. I'm when I finish my life or when my duties have done, I can go. And then she says, I don't want to hear this. She was very attached to me. And, so I prayed that if my duties aren't finished, until my duties are finished, that I would come back. That And then one night she phoned. She was in a terrible state.
Mm.
And she really held on to life. But she was always enthusiastic for myself in my spiritual life. But then I stayed and I prayed that I would be there when she left her body. And somehow Krishna granted that.
Krishna will always make arrangements for his devotee.
Much like
yes,
yourself.
Yes.
And then really I still had some duties to my children before I left home. Mm-hmm. So because I was divorced. And but it was at that time, yeah, she left the body, and I could come to the manor. And so my connection is there, is that that part, is that then I was released. Mm-mm. to sort of do what I felt I wanted to go to.
Mm-mm.
And I became attracted, and that was late in life for me. So here I am now, you know. It is amazing, and my prayers are always answered. And referring to also the Bhagavad Gita is in its power, I always relate to that. I'm coming to Bhagavatam class now to learn more about Bhagavatam, and that's late in, really late in life. I found simplicity of Bhagavad Gita much to my liking. And in chapter 7, texts 13 and 14, it does say that those who don't have faith in this devotional service, they cannot come to me. But and then in 7:14, he says, but those who conquer over the modes of material nature, they'll come to me if they surrender.
Jai. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. I'm so happy to see the devotees here and the deities foremost, because I've been traveling for the last 2 months, and wherever I go, I've seen a lot of devotees, but here I've seen a lot of Western devotees. That's a little bit of change for me. Because wherever I go, US, Canada, UAE, it's a lot of devotees coming. But here, very encouraging to see Western devotees for a change. Hare Krishna. Okay, one last question. Yes? You have a question, Mataji? Give the mic, please. I'm going over time here. It's supposed to be 8:30.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. What if you're in a situation where you've been called a prostitute, you've been banned from the temple, police have been called, I'm a stree, and I'm a single woman, divorced. What happens? What's the Shastra speaking on that?
Someone is banned from the temple?
Yeah.
And then?
The police are called. They've got mental issues. Everything's been called under their names. But they're chanting the holy name and they're crying for Krishna all the time. What should you do then?
There must be a reason. There's a reason for everything. So I don't know what is the reason. That would be another class. But we have to follow first the authorities, follow the authorities, and then question later. Not question now and follow later. We have to follow first and then question why. Why is this happening? What is the reason? There must be a valid reason why this is happening. It's not that the authorities will call the police without any reason at all. There must be maybe causing disturbance or whatever.
But if it's madness, it's Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna constantly, why would you call the police when you're chanting Hare Krishna?
Yeah, but there's a reason also. Maybe he's chanting or she's chanting Hare Krishna, but then she's creating trouble. Only if you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there should not be trouble. it should be trouble-free, anxiety-free. There must be some reason. I can talk to you later. Okay, because this is not part of the class now. Okay?
I just want to know what the service regarding devotional, the Shastra, your Shastra, what it says on that. Regarding for single women who are strees.
Yeah, well, as I said, there must be a reason.
No, what's your view on it? Your personal view, your training.
What's that again?
What's your training on it regarding women?
Training?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, we have for the brahmacharis, just like I saw a sign, be a monk for men and women. So there must be a particular criteria to be a monk for a woman also. I thought monk is only for men. But now women can be monks also in Krishna consciousness. Single woman, right? Yeah, you cannot be a monk if you're married. So there must be some guidelines that we have to follow, because this is how our movement goes, increasing more and more and more. We have to follow the things that our founder Acharya has told us to do. There is some rules and regulations and so on. So if you go outside of that, then it creates some disturbance if you want to get in. So the Shastra says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But don't create disturbance. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.